Hello, hello. Welcome to Fox Force 5. Hello, Nicola O'Brien. How's it going?
Hello, Kitty. Apologies to our listeners if they get uncomfortable listening to my voice because I sometimes hate listening to people who are sick on the radio. So
yeah.
I am full of schnat, so unfortunately I sound funny. But grand
sexy.
Otherwise. Never knew the joy of being sick without a child.
Oh, jeez.
So when you're sick and have a child, I feel like it's... And I'm not even that sick. I just have very bad, like, sinuses. But it's just like you can't just be like, oh, I feel a bit tired. I'll just go lie down.
I'm going to lie down. Yeah.
It's dead.
Yeah. I think probably if they did some... I mean, there's probably research into it, but I'm sure people are looking after small people. They stay sicker for longer because they don't take a break.
Yeah, and you're not getting rest. Somebody said that to me actually when I was sick before a couple of months ago as well. But no, this is just my sinuses. And it's, I think, because I'm not really leaving the house that much. Like, my social life is so small that when I do leave the house, I just catch everything. So thankfully not COVID. It is just, and it's really just in my head. It's like my nose and my...
I still think that we're, you know, we're experiencing that, like,
re-emerging sickness.
Post-COVID.
Yeah.
You know, picking those few winters that we didn't get the normal colds, like, they're still, like, piling on top of us.
For
you know
sure.
What I mean? So,
and the other thing as well with being a parent and being sick, which I never thought of until I had a child, is when you're sick, you're like, oh my God, are they going to get it now? Like, that's the big fear, isn't it? So hopefully everyone else will be fine.
We all remember the horror of being having COVID and worrying the kids were
exactly,
going to get it. But,
yeah.
Anxiety. So did I talk about that Breathless drama that was on ITV and about COVID? Did I talk about that in the podcast?
No, I don't think so.
Oh my God. It'll come to Ireland on UTV or TV3 or Virgin
TV,
at some point.
Yeah.
But it's very good. But like... I think I cried through the whole second episode. Like, it's about the front line, about the doctors and you know, nurses and healthcare assistants and stuff on the front line during COVID. And just like, it was a bit triggering, you know, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
Like, and I think triggering for everybody who lived through COVID, which is kind of everyone.
Yeah.
Even silly little things like, I mean, there's big set piece, dramatic moments where the doctors are choosing between who should live and die, you know, and telling cancer patients they're going to die because they can't get the normal treatment that they would have got outside COVID. Or there's one bit where the guy who's dying was a concert violinist and the doctor comes in and plays. I'm nearly crying thinking about it. The doctor brings in his violin and he plays to him when he's dying, you know, and stuff
God.
Like that. Anyway.
Is it based in the UK or the US or what?
Yeah. It's the girl. I can't remember her name. She's in Downton Abbey. The blonde girl in Downton Abbey.
Oh, yes. She was in Carol.
Jodie something, maybe. Jodie. Anyway, so, excuse me. It was just, what I was going to say was the stuff that happened in COVID that we've kind of blocked out. Like, there was one scene where she's walking along and someone else is walking towards her and they have to do a big swerve to keep the 6 or 8 feet between them or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, do you remember that? Do you remember walking and you have to be so far away from anyone that was coming against you? So you'd have to like cross the road or like, it's mad when you
I
think
about it. I was thinking
about
it when I was walking lately. I was thinking about it. I don't know why, but I was like, it just brought it back because I used to go walking a lot because it was UK and that was it. But it's weird. I think we all have like joined PTSD about the entire thing though, because I think for a lot of people, it's a total blur. Like, it's very much a blur in life, that like a blip in time. Although big significant thing has happened for each of us, but it's like a blip. It's weird. But
I did a few recordings. I just sat and talked to the microphone a few times about what was going on over COVID. I'd say if we've been listening back to them now, I'd be like, oh my God, I sound like I'm having a mental breakdown.
You probably forgot the last bit as well, like, you know.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, there you go. Off on a tangent there straight away. But anyway, look, we've had a lot of serious stuff on the podcast the last few weeks, so I thought I'd go light content for number one this
Your
week.
Your stuff
gets
might
a bit
be
more
serious. I never talk serious.
Oh, let's swap, so yeah. Let's swap. I'll do TV and follows.
One.
Okay, so up first this week is an article. I think, I don't know if I got this on RTE or her.ie, but it's about like what styles are coming up this spring. you know, what's
oh, yeah.
We talked about this
last year for last year's styles coming in. The coastal grandmother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hilarious.
Seasonal update on fashion.
And the funny thing is, I'm sure I don't embrace any of it. But anyway, so what it said was, firm favourites enjoying a bijou update and sexy separates coming into play. Here's what we're looking forward to wearing when these key looks land in store. First one, short shorts.
Ooh.
Maybe short shorts with tights. Short shorts with bare legs in Ireland. Okay.
You can pull it off.
Number two, high waisted.
As somebody who's a larger stomach, always happy with.
But anyone with a mom belly as well, it's not always forgiving. There's a very particular type of high waist that works, isn't there? But anyway, there you go, high waisted skirts and trousers. The white dress. And there was a picture of Jennifer Lawrence at the Oscars. She wore a very sort of Bridgerton style.
Yes, at the Vanity Fair party. She did. Yes. Her main Oscars wasn't great. Although
no.
I think it was Dior, but it wasn't great. It was like polka dot.
The style wasn't great at the Oscars, I thought.
Yeah, some I thought were nice. I liked the whole like futuristic.
Carey Mulligan's was very cool. The black with
that
the white.
That was very elegant though. And I actually liked Emma Stone's as well. I did like her, although her rip, and everyone was like, oh my God, somebody's like being absolutely like whipped.
Sacked. Yeah.
For the rip going. But yeah.
I just didn't think, I love to see the dresses and look at the articles that have the dresses in them. And I was so nonplussed by the whole thing. Mm. A lot of black, just black fitted gowns. I was like, boring. There was a couple of people had, Florence Pugh.
Yes, it was Florence Pugh and Emily Blunt had it. I thought that was quite cool, the raised shoulder.
Yeah, so the straps that came a couple of inches off the shoulder, very cute. You wouldn't really kind of see it straight on. You kind of had to see it sideways.
Yeah, I thought they looked cool, both of them. I enjoyed their
outfits. They look cool. But some of the big stars, I was like, meh. But anyway, right, white dress. That was the white dress. And my take on the white dress is, actually, I tried on a lovely white dress a couple of weeks ago, a casual one. And then I was like, and I nearly bought it. And then I was like, do you know what? I have 3 or 4 white dresses in my cupboard. And unless they're like denim.
Yeah,
so like
really
thick,
see-through.
They're very see-through.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the confidence to carry it off, I don't think, mostly. Like if you're on holidays, fine. Yes, I agree with you. Or if it's very hot, but not if it's not. So you wouldn't get that many wears out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Now I've got a white kind of denim pinafore thing and I wore that loads
last
year.
You wore that before, yeah. I saw that. That was cool. Yeah, I like that denim-y stuff. There's a few nice things actually online at the moment, that kind of style.
There you go. 4, craft. So this is like something between boho and artisan. So things like kind of holes stitched together with a little bow, you know? So you've got like holes with just little bows. Or it's like big kind of stick-on flowers or things like that. I was like, meh.
No.
5, florals. Meh. Okay, fine. Not very exciting. 6, transparent.
None of this is very revolutionary, but anyway.
No, 6 is the transparent skirt, which, again, I feel like unless you've got a particular body, but I actually I wore a black dress last year that was kind of wool on holidays, and I paired it with like big pants, like proper big pants, like holding in pants, and a bikini. So they looked like a really smart sort of, I don't know, two-piece underneath. And that kind of worked, but that is as far as I'd go in terms of transparent. To be honest,
I wouldn't say I have anything transparent now in my own wardrobe.
slightly targeting a younger demographic. And then the last one is metallics. But I'm like, metallics are kind of always in, aren't they?
They're
not really.
There's a lot of gold around at the moment, a lot of gold kind of dresses.
And silver, and they're always like on for festivals and things like that,
Indeed.
So, so that's the style highlights for spring 2024.
I would say they're now not really that revolutionary.
Not a revelation.
But, there are some nice things around, I would say. I think I've seen some nice bits coming in, but very varied. Varied style.
I tell you what's all in here at the moment. Very casual clothes, like wide leg trousers, big T-shirts, denim shirts. This is what I'll be wearing this weekend.
It's yeah, but you know what's also in is very the very cash. Structured outfits. So the waistcoats and the the kind of, you know, suit pants with a waistcoat, and sometimes they're very baggy. It's kind of a cool style. Yeah. I like the kind of waistcoat.
That was what I wore the last time I was out in Killarney, was that waistcoat and baggy trousers. And I was going to bring it for Sunday in Killarney. And I'm like, I'm not wearing that out on Paddy's Day. So I'll be in runners and jeans.
Yeah.
But anyone dressing up, yeah, it's cool. Okay. Right. So that's it. The style right now, lads. The style. Okay. Over to you, Nick.
So the first thing I want to talk about, although I haven't seen it yet, but I think it's going to be glorious trash and with the weekend that's in it, is Lindsay Lohan's new movie that's on Netflix.
Oh, God.
An Irish Wish.
Oh, God.
I haven't watched it. I think it could be glorious. You know, it's going to be one of those kind of really cringy kind of rom-com-y movies. But it was filmed in Ireland, like, so I kind of feel like we should...
Yeah, ages ago, wasn't it?
So I think she's done two in Ireland. I think she did like a Christmas... Or was there a big Christmassy one as well?
Yeah, I think she's done Ireland. More than one as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Was so, it not the thing with Patrick Dempsey?
That was years ago. That was something else. But
That was like a fairy tale thing.
Yes, yeah. But this, I'm not actually sure where it was filmed now that I think of it. But I mean, there's a great Irish, there's a lot of Irish actors and stuff in it as well. Like, I don't mean
people. The leads are all English or all British.
Yeah, but people we probably wouldn't recognize. But there are normal, some of the other characters, less characters that are Irish actors and stuff. So I haven't watched it. I just thought it was one to shout out if you're.
I saw a headline and it said, I think it was a review maybe in the Irish Times or the Examiner, and it was like, it's so bad, it's nearly good, but I can't forgive the lineup of actors being British or something like that. That was the effect, that was the
tone of the article. Well, I mean, she has red hair, so that's basically, you know, what she'll get.
Lindsay Lohan, our princess. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd say it's probably worth a watch, and definitely worth a hangover watch. It's probably one of those, all right. So yeah, it might be one for Monday for everybody. Yeah. So it's called An Irish Wish, to be sure.
An Irish Wish. There's also a documentary I watched in the last week, and for some reason I cannot find it, but it's on Netflix. I'll find the name as I speak, but it's on Netflix, and it's about a girl who was, this is a bit of a dark one now after that, but anyway, I thought it was a very good watch. A girl who was sexually abused during the running of the Bulls in Pamplona in 2016. And it's about, she was gang raped. And it was horrific. So the story, though, is about, they found the guys straight away, like, fair play to them. Within 24 hours, they'd arrested the five guys that had done it.
Yeah.
But it's about, like, the court case and how, like, the Spanish legal system is kind of different to, like, us. So they have a big difference between sexual assault and sexual abuse. And I think if it's, like, assault, it's lesser. Or if it's abuse, it's lesser, one or the other. And it meant, like, in terms of jail terms and things like this, people can see... it would get a lot less time in prison and stuff like that. I'll try to find the name there. My bloody head isn't.
I have it. It's called You Are Not Alone, yes. Fighting the Wolf Pack.
That's it.
Yeah.
The Wolf Pack, these fucking idiots called themselves. And then it transpires that when they're looking at their phones, they actually found another, they recorded it. And then they find another video of girl being raped as well from like a year previous. So it's mental, like the amount of evidence they have. And you should hear then like the questioning and stuff like that in the court case of this poor girl. And eventually like it just kind of goes from there. But it's kind of mostly about the court case and all that. It's very upsetting, but also it's well worth watching because I feel like every country has gone through a case like this in the last like 10 years where it's kind of like I Believe Her and Me Too and all that, you know. And a lot of it was... started a lot of chat on like Twitter and all that about people coming forward and talking about like things that had happened to them that they'd never spoken about and all that. So it was really good. It was very, obviously it was quite hard to watch. Like I started watching with Jer and he actually couldn't watch it. He was getting so upset about it. So I finished watching it on my own. So it is a bit of a tough watch. Because of, I suppose, the frustration with the whole thing and like you know, it was so busy, there were so many people around, but this still happened to her. And I suppose when you have daughters it's kind of a bit triggering, the worry. But it was very good. I would recommend it if you want something a bit more serious to watch and maybe just be annoyed at the human race for a while. I also watched the Sarah Ever documentary that you spoke about last week. That was also filled me with rage. So yeah, I think on International Women's Day, I watched both of those, and I just it was just like
felt like setting the world on fire.
Feel the rage, and yeah, as Elaine would say, go completely nuclear on it. So yeah. I watch those. But yeah, well worth the watch, I would say, on both accounts. Frustrating, but in terms of the one in Spain anyway, there was a good outcome. So not to spoil it, but positive outcome to it. So at least that was satisfying. So yeah, they were my recommendations this week. Oh, another one, I haven't watched it yet, but The Gentleman, a lot of people are raving about. So I'm going to
I'm watching it this week.
Oh yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's Guy Ritchie by numbers. Like it literally, I mean, I feel like he's regressing, Guy Ritchie. Like he has not done anything new here. Yeah. It's like literally lock, stock. It's the exact same.
It's like a spin-off to the movie, is it? Like they're related to the movie. I really
not even a spin-off.
Movie.
It's not actually the thing. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, it's, I mean, it's, there's funny bits to it, like, and it's got all that sort of, you know, kind of absurd things that happen.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Which kind of is the charm of Guy Ritchie's.
Yeah, the bit lockstocky and all that. Like,
exactly, yeah. So, you know, he kind of adds quirks to these characters that you're like, it makes it more interesting, etc. And that's what made him so successful day one.
Mm.
But literally, this could be Lock, Stock and Two Smoky Barrels. It's the exact same thing. But you know what? Go for it. Try it out. I'm watching loads of stuff. Guess what I started the other night, Nicola? You're going to be so proud of me.
You're straight something old?
Series 1, Episode 1, The West Wing.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice watch. It's a little bit outdated because obviously it's so...
Yeah, totally. But it's interesting at the same time.
It has that kind of grainy... Yeah.
Totally grainy. Yeah. But it's even stuff like answering normal phones. You're like, they've all got normal phones, you know? It's
weird. It is a brilliant series. Like I don't think we ever spoke about it on here, actually, because I think last time I pitched it was probably like 5 years ago. But a brilliant series if you haven't watched.
So I'll be... letting you know about that. The other thing I watched the weekend was I watched Poor Things, which I really enjoyed. It's really good.
Yeah.
There is tons of sex in it. So if you're not, if you're watching it with someone who shouldn't, you don't want to watch people having sex with, then don't do it. There is tons of sex in it. And the other thing
Mark
is,
Ruffalo get his kit off in it, like.
Yeah.
Does
yeah.
it? Really? Oh, I just
I don't think you see everything, but you see lots, like.
Would that taint him for me? It's kind of like.
He's a strange character, Mark Ruffalo. Anyway,
I like
but
it.
Emma Stone is brilliant in it. William Dafoe is brilliant in it. It's really good. It's a really good film. And I watched Dune, the first Dune, because I want to see the second Dune because everybody's raving about it. And I really enjoyed that as well. And oh my God, I'm watching Celebrity Big Brother. I nearly died laughing on Thursday when Louis and Sharon were talking about Simon Cowell. I thought it was the funniest thing. They were just
bitching
about
Simon Cowell.
Oh, they
were ripping him to pieces, weren't they?
Oh, stop. It was so funny. But anyway, there's a lot of bitching going on in Celebrity Big Brother this year. A lot of name dropping, and it's very juicy in that sense. But
I've seen Ekin-Su has kind of gone from the People's Princess to kind of like...
She's annoying. She's been annoying since day one. And she's been... She was just, totally like sucking up to Louis and Sharon the whole time because she's like, who can I use on the outside, basically?
Yeah.
You know, she kind of knew that they were up there in terms of good context.
Mm.
But some of it is cringy, some of the stuff that's going on in there, like real crawling, you know.
Mm.
But anyway, that was that. And then, yeah, I've got loads of other stuff on the go, including Shogun, which I'm really enjoying on Disney.
Oh,
and we started Extraordinary last night, which is hilarious. Yeah. So anyway,
sounds
maybe
like you've loads of time on your hands.
I don't know why. I don't know how come. Because we did nothing last weekend. That's why.
Nice.
I was like, normally I've got up the bloody walls, but I actually got to watch some stuff. Anyway, there you go. God almighty. We're more than halfway into the podcast. We're going to keep going. Okay, number three. Thanks, Nick.
Three.
Right, my fox this week, I thought, being that it's St. Patrick's weekend, that we would have an Irish person at least. And then I thought, what is Paddy's all about? And it's about celebrating Irish culture and heritage. So I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I looked at an Irish poet? So our fox this week is a woman called Evan Boland. I don't know if you know her. She is apparently one of the foremost female voices in Irish literature, brought Irish national identity and the role of women in Irish history to the centre of her work. Boland is best known for her honest accounts of the female experience, exploring difficult topics such as domestic violence, infanticide and cancer, as well as more broad themes like domestic life, love, history and the Irish rural landscape. She was born in September 1944 and became a professor at Stanford University, where she taught from 1996. A number of her poems are taught on the Leaving Cert. Oh. Her first book of poetry, New Territory, was published in 1967, followed by The War Horse in 1975, In Her Own Image in 1980, and The Night Feed in 1982, which established her reputation as a writer on the ordinary lives of women and on the difficulties faced by women poets in a male-dominated literary world. Boland was writer in residence at the National Maternity Hospital, Dublin, in 1994, which I never even knew they had a writer in residence. During this time, she composed Night Feed and The Tree of Life, and her work remains on a plaque in the hospital garden. On the 15th of March, so today in 2016, aww, President Obama quoted lines from her poem, Lines Written on a 30th Anniversary, in his remarks at a reception in the White House to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Now, I've got a couple of her poems here. They're not very long. Would you like to hear
one? Yes, I'd love to.
Okay, hang in there now, because this might be a bit emotional.
Oh, God.
So this is called The Night Feed.
Oh, God.
This is dawn. Believe me, this is your season, little daughter. The moment daisies open, the hour mercurial rainwater makes a mirror for sparrows. It's time we drown our sorrows. I tiptoe in, I lift you up, wriggling in your rosy zipped sleeper. Yes, this is the hour for the early bird and me, when finder is keeper. I crook the bottle, how you suckle. This is the best I can be, housewife to this nursery where you hold on, dear life. A slit of milk, the last suck, and now your eyes are open. Birth coloured and offended, earth wakes, you go back to sleep, the feed is ended, worms turn, stars go in, even the moon is losing face, poplars stilt for dawn, and we begin the long fall from grace, I tuck you in.
Aw, that's lovely.
Isn't it nice?
It didn't make me cry though, thank God. So, okay. But it is lovely.
Do you want to hear another one? Do you want to hear the Irish? Sorry, the immigrant Irish.
Yes, why not? It's Petties. In it. Go on.
Like oil lamps, we put them out the back of our houses, of our minds. We had lights better then, newer then, and then a time came. This time and now we need them. Their dread, makeshift example. They would have thrived on our necessities. What they survived, we could not even live. By their lights now, it's time to imagine how they stood there, what they stood with. That their possessions may become our power, cardboard, iron, their hardships parcelled in them, patience, fortitude, long suffering in the bruised coloured dusk of the new world, and all the old songs and nothing to lose.
Oh, that's very nice.
Talk to me. Now, Boland died in Dublin in 2020, aged 75, and she was posthumously awarded the Costa Book Award for Poetry for her final collection, The Historians. So there you go.
Lovely. That was a nice one this week, Kelly.
A bit
Thank
of Irish culture. Now, over to you, number four.
Four!
So I was trying to find like an Irish content creator or something like that to follow, seeing as obviously it's Paddy's week, but I got bored of trying to find that. So then a few weeks ago probably, I went through the top apps in Ireland, and I thought I would just go through some of the top websites in Ireland that maybe not maybe aren't everywhere else or whatever, you know. So give a guess.
Let me guess one. I'll definitely guess one.
Yeah,
RIP.ie.
Yes, it is. Guess the number now. RIP.ie is.
What number is that in the top 10? Low
it's
enough
in the top 10. It's not in the
Oh, yeah, I'd say low enough, yeah, maybe.
I have 50 here in front of me, so where do you think it is in the 50?
About 30.
No, it's 16.
16?
Yeah.
Jesus,
right, so for anybody who's listening in the UK, and it doesn't...
All the grannies with their multiple windows of RIP.ie.
Oh, yeah. Like back in the day, it used to be listening to like Kerry Radio for the debt notices. Now it's a checking RIP.ie, and it's like there's lots of different jokes around about, you know, going and helping your mom with tabs on her computer, and they're all just RIP.ie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tech support, first thing you do is close all the windows of RIP.ie. I remember telling people over here when I was first over here about the debt notices on the radio, and it used to crack people up. They thought it was hilarious.
It's such an Irish thing. We are absolutely fascinated with debt.
Obsessed with
debt.
Yeah.
But
we're very comfortable with it, I think. That's the thing, you know. It's weird.
I don't know. I suppose. But it's like the way I try to tell people about like removal sometimes, and the way that like even sometimes if you remotely know somebody, if you know somebody in the family, you'd go. Like, that's unheard of in a lot of other countries. If you don't immediately know the person, like, you wouldn't go, you know?
Yeah.
But it said, so it has 10.8 million views in the last 12 months.
So, yeah, so, just for people who don't know what it is, anyone listening maybe in the UK. Yeah.
So that is obviously a massive amount of people. It's actually down, though, from last year, which is interesting. But yeah, for people who don't know, so basically, God forbid somebody passes away, you actually have to send a notification to RIP.ie for them to put it up. It's free of charge. And like, you would write like a little, like, this person has passed away, is much loved by their family, and it would usually name like the family member.
The death, like a death notice, basically.
Yeah, a death notice. And then underneath you can leave condolences as well, which is rather nice, really. So...
But it's this, yeah, so, but the other side of it is, like, people just go on it to see who's dead,
yes,
you know?
Exactly. You could look at, like, Clarny, for example, and you'd see everyone who died in Clarny. Yeah. Like, you could set, there's filters. So you can set it to, like, a week in Clarny and see everyone who's died in Clarny. Like, it's extremely morbid, but also very handy because it has, like, the funeral signs and all that on it, you know?
Exactly. And, like, you know, some people don't want flowers at a funeral, or they want, you know, it's private family funeral or whatever. And they can put all that detail there, which is handy as well, you know? Stuff that used to go into the papers back in the day when there was daily newspapers and stuff like that, you know, but we just don't have that kind of service anymore. So it actually filled a massive gap. I wonder how much money they make.
Annual revenue, I'll tell you now, it's in dollars though, because this is just the website I'm looking at. It's between $2 and $5 million a year.
Jesus. Yeah. I might start one over here.
I know. Like, well, I presume that there's ads on it. I can't really think now that I'm looking at it.
I think there is ads on it. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the last 3 months there, for example. It's like, website ranking helps evaluate. Blah, blah, blah. Over the last 3 months, RIP.ie global ranking has increased from 4,712 to 5,100. It's like increased. Well, the global, interesting. Anyway, so yes, they are similarly ranked sites, if you want to know, are things like findagrave.com. churchmedia.tv and legacy.com. So I presume these are like things similar. Well, like, obviously the Find a Grave is...
This is really interesting. Will you send me this link, whatever it is after? Go on.
The top like 10 are very normal standard things. RT is probably doing a different thing with
Amazon.
I'll just like Google, YouTube, Facebook, independent.ie, Twitter, Google. Well, it's not Twitter anymore. In Wikipedia, RTE, Reddit, Instagram. Strip Chat is number 11, which made me laugh. I didn't even know what that was.
Joking?
I had to click into it. So it's like, remember Chat Roulette? I think it's a bit like that, where like watch naked models and adult live sex cams, the community. That is globally ranked as 46 as well, but it's number 11 in Ireland.
Is it an Irish website? No.
No, it's American.
Okay.
Irish Times, Pornhub number 13. It's pretty high though. LinkedIn, Amazon, all over the list. There's our RIP.ie. None as that exciting. OpenAI is there, which is kind of interesting. So obviously that's the one where like Brian, our brother, will be getting the funny ditties from and all that.
Getting them to write their school essays and stuff.
Other than that, it's fairly standard stuff, but those ones I thought were funny. DuckDuckGo, I don't know what that is. What's DuckDuckGo? Internet privacy company that empowers you, seems to take control of your personal information. Interesting. Anyway, I'll send you this so you can pop it up so people can see what's at the top 50.
Yeah.
But yeah, some interesting ones there. A lot of porn sites. Just about five.
So kind of
the
social
top.
media, porn.
Porn.
Great.
Yeah.
Well done, Ireland.
RIP.ie there. Yeah. So there we go. So yeah, I know, should have probably given you something a bit more Irish, but there you go. That's the thoughts of the nation there.
Death, well, RIP.ie, you can't get more Irish than
RIP.ie. Not together at the same
either.
Time. Separate. Separate.
Oh, very good. Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
Music news. So you probably heard about this week, but all the Irish acts due to play this year's South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, have pulled out in support of Palestine after the festival's links with the US Army and defense companies were uncovered. Artists include Kneecap, Soda Blonde, Gavin James and The Sprints, Robert Grace, Chalk, Mick Flannery and Northern Irish acts Enola Gray and Cahoor White. Cardinals, Gurriers and New Dad have also cancelled, so there are literally no Irish acts left to play. Kneecap were the first act to cancel their shows, saying they would not play in solidarity with the people of Palestine and to highlight the unacceptable deep links the festival has to weapon companies and the US military. Now, Therapy and Ash are both playing And they're really? Still playing.
I thought they all cancelled. Everyone.
Well, they're technically Northern Irish. Therapy came out and said that they weren't invited by South by Southwest there, and they weren't playing in the Irish showcase. They were playing for their record label. But I mean, that's not an excuse, is it? No. Music from Ireland, who were putting on the showcase, put out the following statement and said acts would not be discriminated against in future decision-making. The Irish artists who met this morning have released a joint statement and have indicated that they will not be participating in any official Southwest shows and that they will be making a joint statement together. Music from Ireland and Culture Ireland respect their decision and are cancelling the Music from Ireland showcase as well as the full Irish Breakfast official daytime showcase. Minister for Arts, Catherine Martin, met with the Bens this morning and expressed her respect for the artistic freedom of expression. A lot of them were already there when this all happened. In lieu of showcases, the artists will make a joint statement, and that was due to be last night, and they're doing it again today at 1 o'clock in the Flamingo Cantina. South by Southwest responded. Their statement sort of tries to use the criticism of the defence industry's involvement as an opportunity to discuss their innovation and how it brings forward ideas that shape our world. Sounds like a lot of guff.
But it's completely bizarre that she would have a relation with a music festival to, like, very strange. But like, that doesn't go on this side of the world. Like, we don't have.
What they said was the defence industry has historically been a proving ground for many of the systems we rely on today. These institutions are often leaders in emerging technologies, and we believe it's better to understand how their approach will impact our lives. The Army sponsorship is part of our commitment to bring forward ideas that shape our world.
Yeah, well, fair play to them all. And they're obviously going to be out of pocket a bit for doing it. So we should all be supporting them and streaming music. Yeah,
Kneecapper, they are some boys. They're flying it. Jimmy Fallon last week. Yeah. And they're really good. I really like them. So,
and they were told on Late Late Show they couldn't talk about Palestine, and then they all actually did talk about Palestine. They stopped like what they were normally talking about, and they brought it up. So, and they
definitely have a very
political,
faithful, sense of what their politics are, and they kind of stick to it. Now, I don't think it's doing them any damage at the moment, but that remains to be seen, I guess. But fair play to them, and all the best, and more power to them. They'll be everywhere this weekend, no doubt, celebrating Irishness, etc. So that's the crack. Well,
everybody should celebrate Irishness this weekend, and a big shout out to Killian Murphy. I know he listens. just your cousin, obviously. Probably.
Do you know what?
This week.
About St. Patrick's Day, I have to say I've had some emails this week that have actually been borderline
embarrassing.
Yeah, people just like capitalizing on petty stuff. Yeah, so like British companies that I get emails from or whatever. Like, there's one company I get emails from. They sell imaging for radio stations, and anyway, in it they were like, oh, celebrate Paddy's Day, give your station a Paddy's Day sound, and they were literally selling diddly eye stuff to radio stations.
It's that just bollocks. We're a country that has like some of the best actors in the world, some of the best musicians in the world, producing like top talent in every sphere in terms of culture, and then they're using these bollocksy
tropes. Old-fashioned tropes. Yes, but absolutely. Yeah, there you go.
Types about us. Anyway,
regardless of all that, I hope everybody's got a brilliant weekend ahead for Paddy's and the long weekend. We're actually coming to Ireland for it, so we're pumped for that. So we're going to see everybody. Well, we'll see some people. It's a very quick visit. And Estelle and Effie are absolutely over the moon about going to the parade. Their first proper parade. Ever. So that'll be great. So take care of yourselves and each other. We love you. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.